We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital. John is on the road today, so I'm going to hear a little bit of road noise, but we're glad he could make it to the show. How you doing, man?
I'm Bluetoothing, man. I'm doing good.
Good.
You got to love the built-in Bluetooth in these new cars. It makes a big difference.
Yeah, you said you were off to the bank, which is 2.5 hours away. I really think you should bank somewhere closer.
Well, you know, when you move, sometimes the facilities aren't there that you need. So, yeah, we're gonna change banks, but as it is now, I got to drive forever to get to my freaking branch.
How could it be so hard to switch? That's crazy.
It's not hard. It's just a matter of being lazy and not having the motivation to do it. Oh. Of course, this drive is now motivating me. So,
I bet it is. 3 hours. Yeah. Oh my god. Yuck.
How often do you really have to go into the bank? I mean, I thought, okay, it's going to be easy because everything you can do mobile, you can do it online. You know, one thing you have to go into the bank for happens once or twice a year, and of course it's happening today.
It's true, though. I guess most of it's online. That's good. And if you've got a bank machine around, you can always use that instead of having to go in.
Huh. That's right.
Well, enjoy. I'm sure it's a wonderful day for a long drive.
Beautiful day.
There you go. Good. So I've put together the notes for our show today, and one thing I wanted to start with was something I thought was really quite interesting. A colleague of mine, except he's in the interior design world, he got a big account with Lamborghini. And as a result of this account, somehow he made a deal where they lent him and some colleagues some of the new cars for a road trip. And yes, pretty cool, eh? Not a bad perk. But anyway, he was saying that it's been very interesting on this road trip. He had the strangest things happen, and it's all because he had something so expensive. He had his car, and one of the things that happened is a person on a bike, when they were stopped at a stoplight, actually pulled up in front of their car, got off their bike, and tried to convince them to help fund his friend's surgery for $300,000.
Holy shit.
Like, what is okay with that? Lots of other weird things where people were just obviously thinking, these guys have money, I'm going to ask them for it. And it must be really weird to be that rich. I mean, he's not, obviously, he's doing well, but he's not that rich. But it's a, what a peak onto that other side, eh?
Wow. Does he need to hire anybody? Can we go to work for him? I'm sure he pays good. Oh, wait. That's right. He's just a loan. Never mind.
Anyway, I mean, I've known a couple people with cars like that, and they always said that they hated driving it after a while. It was neat at the beginning, and then they hated it because it was just too much attention.
Yeah.
Oh, poor guys. Must be
rough. I'll be the judge of that. Yeah, I'll be the judge of that. Let me drive it for a while.
Anyway, just it was interesting and pretty funny. But I know we must have covered.
Wait a minute. Just tie this back into SEO somehow. So, what kind of perks have you gotten on the job as an SEO? What kind of things have you got any interesting perks in your career?
Kind of scowling right now because I think I don't get any really, but I guess. I mean, the perks were earlier on, like things like going to the Google parties and stuff, you know? And
That's what I was going to say, yeah. I haven't got any, like, perks where people... I mean, Google will send us stuff occasionally, you know, but it's like, this isn't one of those industries where people are giving you presents and gifts and stuff that I'm aware of. So that's kind of out of the box. That's kind of odd that someone actually got that.
You mean you got to borrow those?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's also highly promoted. It was a promoted road trip, so it's win-win for both the Lamborghini and him.
So it was content marketing.
You got it.
Yeah, all right. That makes more sense. All right.
I mean, look what's happening now. We're talking about them, right?
Exactly. All right.
All those people who hadn't thought of ever buying a Lamborghini thought, hey, I'm going to go buy one now. They're listening to our show.
Or they're going to link to our show or link to his site saying, this guy got to borrow a Lamborghini. Exactly. Content marketing.
There you go. It's yet another fantastic content strategy shared from SEO 101.
There you go.
Yeah.
Get a name brand luxury automobile client and then borrow one of their cars.
Yes. I'm working on that as we speak.
I'm gonna actually start talking to Rolex this week. Maybe I can. Who else can we get to? Is the free airfare, we can talk to Delta. I'm working on a new strategy here. This is good.
So I'm not sure whether we actually covered this on another show. It seems odd that we wouldn't, but did we already cover that Yahoo directory closed?
I don't think we mentioned it. I think it was on our list to talk about. We didn't get to it.
Yeah. It is such an old... soldier in our world. I mean, I can hardly believe it closed. Not that I've really used it for years, but I kind of always assumed it's kind of like Yahoo Finance, which still booms. It's still very popular. I figured it still had its place, but I guess not.
Do you remember the cool glasses on the listings? It was like the best thing in the world. If you got a listing on the Yahoo directory and they put the little cool glasses next to it.
Oh, yes, it was like, yes.
That was like you were the rock star if you got the cool glasses.
I can't say I ever did. Sniff.
That was the pinnacle of online marketing was the Yahoo directory cool glasses. If you got that, you were the king.
Yeah.
You've come a long way.
I just remember how expensive they were. They were just ridiculous, you know.
They were. What was it? It was a couple $100 a year to be submitted. So you didn't even get weren't even guaranteed to get listed. You had to pay for submission, and it was a couple $100, I think, and they didn't even guarantee that they would list you. But no. if you were lucky, one of the Yahoo editors would find your site and just list it. I actually had my very first website got listed that way in Yahoo directory SEO stuff.
Yep,
so
same here.
It was a hit and miss game with that directory for sure.
Yeah, and then they increased the price to get into the directory to $300, so $299. Yeah, they did a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
The reason I brought it up was obviously that it's to lament it a bit. I might have actually mentioned it in one of my solo shows, but the reason I brought it up is Eric Ward interviewed a company called Zeef, Z-E-E-F, on Search Engine Land, I believe, and you know, Eric Ward being the link Moses, as he likes to call himself. it was interesting. Zeef is from the Netherlands. It's actually Dutch for sift, which is a great idea, actually. Yeah, pretty good. anyways, it is attempting to be, and I've never heard this before, the ultimate human edit directory. how many have tried and failed? Well, exactly. And, you know, to their credit, they in the interview they do bring up DMOZ and you know, Yahoo and these places that did obviously quite well, but seemed to miss the boat on a couple of things, and they're attempting to redo that themselves. Anyways, I'm all the power to them. I think if they can do it, that's great. And one of the things that's setting them apart is they are allowing people to embed their content via widget within their articles or whatever it might be. And intriguing. Who knows? I mean, I've seen things like that. I just shook my head, and I never thought they'd take off, and they did. So I'm going to keep my eye on it.
So here's a question for you. Do people even use directories anymore? Is there any use for a directory outside of citations and link authority? Do people use those? I haven't used a directory in probably a decade, it seems like.
Yeah, and that's why I think, I mean, it's very limited how much is showing right now. It's going to have a different angle. You know, it's not just going to be like Yahoo directory, which is, God, the most boring thing ever. It was that, you know, that had to go. But it's you know, quote unquote, filtering the world's information using human knowledge. Discover, I'm just looking at their site here. You know, you go to popular subjects like game development. They give an interesting breakdown, like bitmap. These are different categories all on one page in this sort of kind of like directory level lists of sprite sheet tools, bitmap compressions, texture tools, character generators. It's a very handy resource, and it's a very long page, but it's got a ton of really interesting links. I think this has got some real legs, but we'll see. I mean,
are there any social elements to it? Do people rate links, or is there anything like that? Or is there any interaction at all?
At this point, it shows page views publicly, and it shows clicks publicly, I guess, on each link. They also have a social bookmark bar, you know, a classic social bookmark bar on the left, where you can share galore, and it's one of those ones that follow you. I think they've got lots so far. Just the game development alone, you know, they just launched, 83 likes, 91 tweets, 20 shares on LinkedIn. 12.3 thousand views, 9.3 thousand clicks. Not bad.
All right.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to watch, see what happens. I still personally think the idea of directories as we've known them is kind of dead. I'm not sure really if people use that, but if they've got a new twist on it that makes it a valuable resource, it could be interesting to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. And the one thing that they're doing that's supposed to set them apart even more is they are challenging the editors by having more than one editor per area, so they compete with information.
Are these user editors or employees as a director?
Users. These are people who have volunteered, and they will except potentially they will get a cut of money that does come in from their area. There's some interesting angles. In this case, this game development page is by Ellison Leo, or I'm not sure I'm spelling his name right, but pronouncing it, I mean. But it this whole page is devoted to his content, and it's doing well. So, interesting. I'm going to check it out. If there's something I love to do on my off time, it's clicking on lists and looking at different tools and different... There's so much online. It just blows my mind, and many times I've turned what I found into a moneymaker, a tool that helped me improve a client site or whatever it might have been. So you never know, it can be some great advantages. Yeah. Well, let's take a quick break, and we come back. got a little information on mobile phone calls, and we got lots of questions too I've managed to scrape together today.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Whether you are an online business or domain name investor, you need access to the best names. With over 270 million domains already registered, finding the right names at the best price requires a great wingman. Namejet.com puts you in the pilot seat by giving you fast and unparalleled access to some of the best premium and expired domain names on earth. As the number one domain name auction platform, Namejet.com is the best place to find domains for your business or investment. So light the afterburners to the domain name aftermarket and fly over to Namejet.com at Mach speed to get great domains today. Namejet.com. InternetMarketingNinjas.com is the online dojo of the highly trained and skilled Internet Marketing Ninjas. Disavow documents, reconsideration requests, Panda and Penguin penalties. Let our superior SEO ninjas confront all of your link-related issues. The Internet Marketing Ninjas are equipped to master any marketing exercise, content creation, authorship, link building, PPC, and more. Plus, build more buzz for your brand with our social media marketing strategy. Discover all that the Internet Marketing Ninjas can do for you. Visit the online dojo now at InternetMarketingNinjas.com.
When you started your business, you first listened to your professors. Now that your business is growing and gaining ground, you only seek out professionals. PPC Professionals, an industry leader for highly optimized search marketing campaigns with over 30 years of combined management experience. Our professional approach to every campaign helps you find every avenue of revenue so that you can not only stay ahead of your competitors, but get a return on your investment and increase your bottom line. PPC Professionals, personal, professional, PPC services, ppcprofessionals.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. Now, one of the articles I saw, it was about mobile phone calls and how search campaigns are not tracked 54% of the time, and, you know, in terms of how many phone calls come through, what happens offline. So let's say you do an AdWords campaign. How many people are actually just calling you based on that ad campaign? And interestingly enough, again, at the time, this is not being tracked by agencies. Personally, sometimes they don't because the extra cost involved in having call tracking, or even if we recommend it, their systems in place don't properly track where the referral came from. Now, John, you've had a lot of experience in medium-sized markets before you jumped into advanced internet. What was your experience in this area?
So I agree. I think there's not enough people doing it, and there's some interesting problems doing it too, because there's people that are doing it, but they're doing it wrong. They're doing it in ways that actually end up hurting their businesses from a local search perspective. There's actually some companies out there, and I won't name names at this point, but there's some local search companies that pretty much span the market and come in and do all these automated local search programs, and they're really cheap. And one of the things they do is they invoke call tracking numbers, and they basically replicate the client's website with call tracking numbers. They put the new website in all of the citations with the call tracking numbers. So now there's duplicate information. It can be a mess if you try this and you do it wrong. But it's really, really valuable if you do it right to understand, you know, how your marketing is working. And it's not just paid search. We've been able to implement this with organic search as well. So we'll look at referrers for clients, and if it comes from an organic search referrer, we'll swap out the phone numbers on the website so that we can do call tracking for organic search. So it's really an interesting situation because so much value comes from being able to prove that the work you do for a client is providing results. And if the client gets most of their needs or most of their contact with potential customers through telephone calls. In SEO in particular, it's really hard to prove that you are the source for that telephone call.
Yeah.
But call tracking is one way to do it.
Yeah, and so what trying to remember, I mean, I don't actually handle the pay-per-click personally anymore. It's a problem with not being on the ground running around here with some of my clients. It's mostly my staff. But what did you use or have you heard most about in terms of call software that does this?
There's a number of them out there that are doing it. We used Marchex for a while specifically for their call tracking. I don't believe we're still using them. I'm trying to think of who we're using now. I don't remember off the top of my head. I know that for our organic stuff, we have a company that we work with directly that kind of has its own custom program built for call tracking. You can buy these numbers in bulk. You can buy these tracking numbers where you own the call tracking number and you can report it, or you rent the call tracking number for a specific campaign. There's so many options on how to do this and vendors to do it with.
Mm-hmm.
Just be really careful that, A, if you're using a call tracking number specifically for pay-per-click, that those pay-per-click landing pages with the call tracking number do not get indexed in search.
Yes.
Normally, you do not want your pay-per-click landing pages indexed in search anyway, but it's much more important when you're using call tracking numbers because you don't want it to lose any kind of citation or NAF information that's out there on the web. Plus, if it's indexed in search, the data you're getting from this call tracking is now skewed because you want it to come from your pay-per-click. You want pure pay-per-click data, but if it's indexed in search now, you also have search data coming in, so that call tracking data is now going to be skewed a little bit. So be really careful about how you do that on the PPC side.
Yeah, and to be clear to our small business users, this may be a little boggling, but the fact is you can track based. So what happens is you do an ad a campaign, and you want to know how many people have called you versus clicking on your link, and because obviously if there's a click and they go to your website, you can track that. You know, okay, this campaign delivered this much in terms of traffic and hopefully conversions in sales. But if they call, there's no way to track that. So from a marketing perspective, from marketing agencies, we get a little frustrated because we don't have the ability to prove to you that what we've done has been working. So call tracking allows us to attach each campaign to a particular phone number, or even you can go as granular as keywords, I believe. It's been a while since I've used one. But and then one I did find that rings a bell is Twilio, T-W-I-L-I-O. And that's one that I've run into and had a discussion before, I think once or twice at different conferences in the expo floor. Anyway, it seemed like a decent company. And in any case, what they can do is give you phone numbers and attach them to it and monitor it for you. And you combine the data and show your clients, or we show our clients, that there has been some uptick from sales that are direct from phone calls. Now, example here, Google has, and this is a quote from this article, Google has reported that 70% of mobile researchers have called a business directly from search results. BIA Kelsey estimates inbound phone calls from mobile search will grow from roughly 40 billion this year to 70 billion in 2016. Another quote here is nearly a third, or 31%, of the search marketers polled said their marketing team gets no credit for driving inbound calls. And you know, the crux of this was that as a result, people aren't putting as much money into this kind of marketing because they don't think they're getting any money back from it. You know, they're not getting the sales, where in fact, or conversions, where in fact they are. It's just not being tracked.
And the interesting thing is, I've heard rumors that, and it may have already launched in beta, that Google is going to start providing call tracking services, which makes a lot of sense, you know, with their history of providing tools for marketers that are helpful to small businesses. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that come out with this mainstream before too long.
Well, it already is, I believe, and it is the one issue that I've run across in doing this research was that there have been issues where Google's recycling the numbers, so there have been some conflicts and confusion there.
Well, that happens in all call tracking services. Those numbers get recycled.
If you don't buy it, right?
Which is why we kind of, I personally recommend, if you can afford it, buy your own number. And just to make sure that people are clear, when we're talking, these numbers, it's not a brand new telephone number for your business per se. What it is you get another phone number, but what happens is that number redirects to your existing phone numbers. So someone can call this number, and then it forwards the call directly to your existing numbers. But in that forwarding process, there's a lot of things they can do with technology. They can record the phone calls. They can tie it into analytics and tracking, so you understand where things came from before that phone call was made. And there's a lot of technology that happens because of that redirected phone call. So when we say you're getting a new number, yes, it's a published number, but it redirects to your existing phone numbers.
Yeah, and the cost of buying these numbers is negligible. I mean, when I did work with one a while ago, personally, I was managing campaigns. This is a number of years ago, but they were only $25 to buy the number after you're finished with them. And then it's just like a redirect. You just make sure it's attached to your phone number. That's it. There's no extra cost involved.
And if you're looking at it, ask the service. Some of these services don't let you buy the numbers. They want you to lease it. That's one of the ways they keep you locked into their service. Ask that question before you sign up with a company, if you can own the number or have your own call tracking numbers.
Excellent tip. That's a big one. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I've got a few points here and a couple questions.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Building better search engine rankings takes the right formula. Tracking those rankings is super simple. All you need is AuthorityLabs.com. Authority Labs uses automated daily rank tracking tools to monitor your site's performance or leverage their API to build your own tools. No matter what animal-labeled algorithms affect your ranking, you should be using Authority Labs. Unlimited users for no additional cost and white labeling can help keep your clients updated and save countless hours of creating reports. Whether you're running sites with just a few or millions of keywords, what you need is AuthorityLabs.com.
Before you painstakingly create another label or drag yourself to the post office, set a course to ShipStation, your key to e-commerce shipping nirvana. Save time by easily importing orders from wherever you sell, like Amazon, eBay, and over 40 others. Save money with discounted USPS rates and a free USPS account. Automate manual tasks through bulk label and invoice printing, custom shipping rules, and much more. WebmasterRadio.fm listeners get an additional 30 days free after the free 30-day trial. Go to ShipStation.com/WebmasterRadio now. Shipping Nirvana starts here.
There are over 70 million active podcast listeners in the U.S.
WebmasterRadio.fm reaches them all
with the largest global distribution of any online business-to-business podcast network. Through iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, and the WebmasterRadio.fm mobile app, we can target and place your message in front of those active listeners immediately. Now, your message can be delivered with less commitment and investment on over 20 hours of weekly original content.
Hosted by the most respected names in digital marketing.
Thanks to an exclusive private offer available for a very limited number of companies. But you must act fast. Email sales@webmasterradio.fm today and get your message delivered now.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So, I've had a couple of frustrating issues this week. I'm sure you'll enjoy this, just because you've run into it many times. Yeah, just this week, yes. Drives me crazy when... Okay. We had a client who decided that they needed to cancel their services because they just weren't focused enough. They needed to get their website redone. I said, no problem. I understand. And just keep in mind that when you do launch your new site, you make sure to call us and let us know so that we can ensure that there's redirects done, that everything's working perfectly. It can be quite a deal switching from one website to another. Well, they happened to have left us with their webmaster tools access, and lucky for them, they did, because we got a notice. We track how many landing pages, the top landing pages there are in a given month for each of our clients, just to see if there's any dips or spikes and anything like that. And they went down to zero from 40 or so. Oh, God. So I looked into it, and sure enough, 2 months ago, their new site had launched. And again, these aren't our clients anymore. We just happen to have this data coming in. 2 months ago, they launched their site with a blocked robots tag. So their entire site is...
I shouldn't laugh, but...
We laughed in horror. But, I mean, they essentially, the developers, for the laymen's out there, their developers created a site that, and while they were creating it, in the development phase, they made sure that Google couldn't index the content. They couldn't read it, so they wouldn't add it to the search, which would have created duplicate content, right? This is good.
Which is the right thing to do. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, when they did the switcheroo and switched the sites, they forgot to remove that. So, essentially, Google was going, oh, hey, a new site. Oh, this is a new site, but we're not allowed to read it. Oh, okay, we'll take you out of the index. Ah! Well, in this case, they didn't take them out, but they all they are left with, if you do a search for their domain, is a whole bunch of URLs for titles, and then the description says this site has been blocked due to robots.txt or whatever it is.
Yep.
And so I called them, and then I found out also, you know, this quote-unquote new site had horrific page speed scores. I mean, it's just across the board, and they'd added no index follow tags to every single page as well. I mean, it was just... just butchered.
So, like, I can tell you, when I talk to businesses about SEO, and I get that pushback where they say, well, we're not ready to do SEO yet because we're about ready to redesign our site. That is my absolute favorite pushback when I get someone saying, I don't want to do SEO because I'm redesigning my site. That's the best possible time to convince them and talk to them about the necessity of doing SEO during a redevelopment process. I mean, yeah. That's the best person. Possible time to do it, and if that's the reason they're not doing it, it's a great conversation. It's a beautiful conversation to have with somebody about, you know, why this should be done during the redesign process, during the redevelopment, or even before your site launches. It's a great conversation to have, and it usually ends up allowing you to show your knowledge to help build that trust with that client that, hey, these guys kind of really know what they're talking about, and it's usually a great conversation. Just saying. My favorite pushback.
Well, it is, except I find it rarely pays off because they often say, well, that's very good. That's good. We'll let you know when we're at that stage, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, because they've got so much they have to do before it even gets to that stage, and they're often putting it off, et cetera, et cetera. They always forget us.
next time you get that conversation, Rod, say, hey, let's reschedule this call. I'm going to get my friend John on the call, and I'll close the sale for you. I guarantee you'll get it. I love that conversation.
Okay. I'll take you up on that. Now, another one, same week, had a guy come in, and I couldn't believe my ears. The design company refused to do the 301 redirects from his new site, from his old site to the new site. Refused. And
their reasoning?
He didn't give me a reason. And I do wonder if there's more to the story. But, I mean, I know there was a lot of links. So it would have been pretty intensive, and it wasn't simple because it wasn't a matter of just doing some coding to do it mass. You'd have to do it page by page. But you know what? He lost a lot of business from that because you know, all these dead links. And they had created juice, and you know they had a lot of link juice on them. People had linked to them. And also, they created, so let's say, and this is an accommodation site, let's say you go to hotel spas, you'd find this hotel. But you could also find the same hotel under, or no, sorry, hotel spas, hotel motel, but you could also find this hotel under spas in a different subdirectory. Well, that's normally great. The only thing is they didn't all link to the same page. They all had unique pages with the same content for that hotel. So, and they didn't use a canonical tag. So in other words, every single directory that happened to have the same hotel, or whatever it might have been for that accommodation, that locale, would have had duplicate content. So it was just a mess.
In both these cases, it sounds like it was a design firm that was either convincing a client that they could handle the SEO side, or a client saying, well, let's do this design stuff first and then do the SEO, where, you know, it's just a matter of education on the client side, thinking, look, SEO is, and I've said this, and we've said it on the show, and I think you and I talked about it, SEO is not something you do to a website. It's part of the website development process. It should be part of what your strategy from the day you think about building a website to the day you decide to turn it off. And by saying it's an add-on later, you see yourself a huge disadvantage, and the clients themselves, you know, are doing themselves a huge disadvantage by not saying, okay, let's make this part of the an integral part of the entire process when we're building this, when we're redesigning this website. And yeah. That, to me, where the real critical piece is, where they're missing. And when you're talking to a client about this issue, that's the goal in my mind, is to have them understand that this SEO work is not something we paste on after the fact. It's an integral part of the entire process. You need to do keyword research to decide how you structure your navigation. Things like that are part of the design process, the structure building process. It's not just adding some header H1 tags and a title tag after you launch.
Yeah. Well, and the one thing, everyone out there, please, it doesn't, at this point, I'm getting jaded. After, you know, it doesn't matter what your web design company says. If they say they can do SEO, don't listen. Get a third party. I'm sorry. The amount of design companies that I want to give them credit. I want to say, yeah, no problem. They probably know what they're doing. They are busy enough keeping up with just design. All the different learning curves in design that are happening these days, keeping up with SEO, good luck. And if the person
I'll tell you a story just this week. I got a design company story this week too. My sister called me. Her and her husband own a big upholstery business in Tennessee. And she called me and she said, they're getting another website built for another division of their business. And she's talking to this company, and the design company, they've got a really good look and feel, they did really good design work, but they're saying they can do the SEO too. Like, okay. So here's a bunch of questions you should ask. So I give her a list of questions to ask these guys. She's going to do it, and she's going to talk to them. And they talked to her for 2 hours. She called me afterwards, she said, this is great, they know what they're talking about. We talked for 2 hours about all this stuff, they answered all the questions you asked me. I said, good, so what were the answers? And I'm like, she's like, well, I don't remember. I'm like, well, okay. I told you to ask, did they change their strategy for Pigeon when it came out a few months ago when it comes to local search? She goes, oh, yeah. They talked about Pigeon. What they told me was Pigeon was a made-up name by the industry, and it really wasn't named Pigeon, and that it didn't matter much because it was a made-up name.
Aww.
But that's the kind of thing. They talked to her for 2 hours with the answers like that, and she was excited because they sounded like they knew what they were talking about, right? But I don't know, because that's the only one she would remember. She had a bunch of notes. We're still going to talk about it later. But to me, I'm now seeing these red flags about, okay, if they're talking about Pigeon, it doesn't matter because it was a made-up name, there's some problems here, right?
Right.
Well, you know, and actually, I'm probably going to have her talk to you, Ross, because you're much more in her business is much more geared towards the work you do. So remind me after the show, and I'll get your contact info.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. I'd love to help her out. Yeah, it's... I don't know. You'll never get anything but most of the time pushback from a design company if you want to bring in a third party for doing web marketing or SEO. But the fact is, they know it's a cash cow if they don't know what they're doing, but they're still charging full price. And really, it doesn't cost much. If you go to a person like, let's say, on average, if I'm helping someone just to make sure that the SEO is done right during the beginning, it would be between 100 and maybe $500. That's it. Just to make sure the site is done properly for SEO and that it ends up launching properly for SEO. That's it. I mean, that's nothing compared to what you could lose if you get this done wrong. I mean, imagine what this company's lost now from having their site blocked and the other one from having all those duplicate contents and no redirects. It's devastating. You just...
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, we talked a lot longer than I expected.
I do want to say one more thing about news or what happened this week. Basically, it's a rest in peace kind of announcement. Google has officially said they are no longer updating PageRank Toolbar. Woohoo! Yay!
Thank God.
It's never going to be updated again. So please, can we just finally officially stop talking about PageRank? Please. I'm begging you.
Yes, that would be nice, wouldn't it? More thankfully, but that I don't imagine it's ever going to disappear as long as it's still showing up some way or another. And they're always.
I don't know why they didn't take it off the toolbar altogether. I mean, they said we're not going to update anymore. Just get rid of it. Not that I know anybody that has the Google toolbar installed anymore, but I'm sure somebody does.
Well, it's a good BS detector. I love it when people say that they got this firm that's talking about PageRank and their score, and I'm like, oh dear. Well, yeah, I know now they don't know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
Let's get to one question. I know we're tight now, but on time. But I really thought this was a good one. Okay, so this is a question from Daniel in our community forum. On our SEO 101 community page within Google Plus. He says, hello, I'm facing a big problem. I had commented on a blog post, and it was an approved comment. After two or three days, I'm now seeing over 250 backlinks are showing up from this site alone. I can't understand why. I'm upset. What do I do? How do I fix this? Is this going to hurt me? That's the gist. First of all, if there's 2,500 backlinks that came from a single comment, the site is garbage anyway. That means they must have tags galore. Can you imagine how many tags it must
have? That's crazy.
And if, let's say any of you out there have this experience where you find that you've got a ton of backlinks that just appear from one website and it's not something you ever want to be associated with, and you can't remove a link from those sites. Usually it's a pain in the butt. You can ask, you can try, but it's really not much worthwhile. I would simply add that link to your disavow. Just don't disavow the entire domain. And if you type in how to disavow on Google, it's a joke. It's so easy. They made it really simple to their credit. And or just call us. I mean, it's very simple to do. And then you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to think about it. It's just mind-boggling, though. 2,500 from one comment.
Yeah, you got to think that site's got some serious duplicate content issues.
Serious.
Yeah.
And he knew that in two or three days. What the heck is he using to track his links?
Yeah, that is kind of odd. Unless it showed up in... Yeah, it wouldn't show up in Webmaster Tools back then.
No. Majestic, I guess, is pretty recent. Yeah, maybe it's Majestic. They're pretty fast on the update.
Maybe Majestic.
Yeah.
I guess the other question to ask, are those links followed or no followed?
There. Yeah, that's true. And I don't know. I didn't get the impression that he was that technical, but it's a good question as well. Either way, you can't go wrong doing a disavow. And if it is a no follow, then you don't have to worry about it at all anyway.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm not sure what site he's hanging out on either. But Daniel, I hope that helps if you're listening in. It's a very simple fix. And I did post that as well in the forum. And what the hell, let's get one more in here. This is a question from Adam Wilson. He says, what's the best practice when an old page, which has long been removed, still has historical inbound links? These inbound links are causing 404s in Google Webmaster Tools, so I want to do a 3-1 redirect. In some instances, it's easy to know where the relevant content has moved to, and thus a 301 redirect is simple. When there's no clear-cut page, what do? Do I link it to the home page, or do I... Or what? And he got concerned after watching a best practice for redirects video from Moz. The responses were interesting. I believe Mark Taylor said, if it's not of any importance and there's simply nothing you can redirect to, just leave it as a 404. you know, he was concerned about, this gentleman, Adam, was concerned about just redirecting these people to his homepage, that maybe that would hurt. Now, what's your take on it, John?
Well, usually if you have a category structure or a hierarchy of pages in the site, usually I try to back it up one level. So if you have a page that's in a section, that's in a group of sections, you know, first, if it makes sense, back it up to the section or redirect it to the section. Try to keep the relevancy as tight as possible, right? So going just immediately back to the home page kind of dilutes the relevancy. So if you have a category or a section, that probably is the first place I'd go from a redirect, if it makes sense. But Mark is absolutely correct. If it doesn't make sense and there's nothing clear, you know, as far as where it should go, 404 is the proper way to do it. Even if it's, I mean, if you've got backlinks going to that page, just because they're backlinks doesn't mean they're going to be valuable and you want to make sure you redirect them. You know, if they're not relevant to somewhere else in your site, they're not going to be a great resource for your site anyway, right?
That's right. And you know, a couple things. One is, one of the follow-up comments is dead on is right, dead on correct as well. And that is that, you know, if you're going to do a 404 page, make sure it's an enhanced 404 page. So they're not just saying 404 error. You know, they're saying, hey, but this might be other content you're interested in. You know, that's very simple to do. And if you don't have that on your site, you can easily check just putting yourdomain.com or whatever it is, /blah. And if you don't get an error page, so, that is default.
There is a correct way to check that one. yourdomain.com/SEO101rocks.
Ah, there you go. But do we really want that to go to a 404?
Only if they have an enhanced one, right?
Yeah. There you go. So if it's enhanced, you should see something. It should be in your template, and you should see a little more info, like kind of in a very inviting info to look through the rest of your site, right? It's very simple to do too, yep, for any kind of webmaster or designer. And the other thought is, if and this is just from the traffic whore that I sometimes am, and that is, if you've got a lot of traffic going to that old page or a lot of links, well, you don't maybe want to make it a 404. Is there a way for you to write another piece of content that would use that to some purpose? Is there some way to, you know, maybe you don't have the product anymore, or maybe there's something about it that doesn't, you know, there's a reason you had to pull the page, right? But if there's some way whatsoever that you can create content that would keep that traffic on your site, do it. I mean, if it's a big driver, don't let it just go to 404.
Right, absolutely. So yeah. I know we're running long, so can I ask you a question? Basically, we're going to run a little longer. So what's your opinion on something? So I ran across a technical issue today that I've never seen before, right? And it's kind of weird. So we've got a site, cleveland.com, right? And if you search in Google for real estate agents in Cleveland, okay, we're ranked number 2 for a page on cleveland.com. Well, that page is a redirect to we have a real estate subdirectory. We have all the real estate listings, all this kind of stuff. The redirected page that is ranking number 2 is a 301 redirect. But it's indexed. It's ranking number 2. You put it in a header response tool. It says 301 redirect. But it's the page is indexed and ranking number 2 for a pretty high value search term. And I can't figure it out. I just wanted to see if you had any thoughts about that.
The only thought I have about it is more of a question myself. It's one of these classics where it just seem to raise more questions. Is I wonder if Google has left that there because there are just so many links to that 301 redirect, and maybe from, I don't know, I'm grasping here. Maybe it's from a site that has so much clout that they wanted to maintain it. It seems like a glitch to me, though.
Yeah. And I thought about that too, and that the backlink profile for that particular page isn't that strong. Mm. The domain is extremely strong, so that's a valid point. It's just really weird, and it goes to me to point to the fact that there's nothing black and white in SEO. Everything has, there's outliers, there's exceptions for everything, even 301 redirects, in my opinion. So when we're talking about we need to do this, we need to do that, it's nothing's black and white in this space other than hats.
Yeah, and there's gray hats too.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I think I've seen that recently as well. Although it might have been just your example, but it's always boggling. Actually, yes, it was with another client, and they had the same issue. But it was a competitor who had just a blank page that was a 301 that was showing up. So I guess it happens. Why the hell it happens, I don't know. I guess Google is full of surprises, right?
Yes, they are.
Wow. Well, that was a good show. I think I hope we gave a lot of value to everyone there. And if you have any questions whatsoever, please do go to our community page on Google Plus. That's SEO 101. Just type that in on Google Plus and you'll find us easily enough. And there's a lot of great people answering questions and being responsive there. If you have any also questions directly, please contact me via email, ross@stepforth.com. You can contact John through Twitter @JohnCarcutt. And have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes of SEO 101, which now air at a new time. It's going to be at, where is it here? Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Woohoo! New time.
Hey. Woohoo! Yeah. Middle of the week, so people don't have excuses anymore.
Yes. So again, that's 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern every Wednesday. It's just a time that John and I are struggling to find a good time that we both can, as closely as possible, surely make it and definitely have content for you. So we want to keep this going, and we have a lot of fun doing it. So thank you for listening.
Awesome. Thanks for listening, everybody.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.